Your Bible with you, and we just read from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And if you understand Matthew's gospel, the Lord Jesus is presenting himself formally to Israel as their Messiah King. Unfortunately for Israel, they refused to accept him as who he was according to the Old Testament. And there are many Jewish people that do that today and debate against that. And they rejected him, and instead of accepting him as their king, they decided to crucify him, handing him over to the Romans to get him crucified. And in doing that, they were unwittingly playing their part in actually letting him pay for the salvation of Israel in the future and the world for our salvation. And therefore, in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, after the Jewish nation rejected him, the Lord Jesus is offering you as an individual the first invitation to be saved. And that's in verse 28. And so I'm not preaching on this, but I'd like you to look at that just a moment, the first invitation. It says in Matthew 11, 28, I'll read it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's talking about laboring for salvation. You can't work for your salvation. You can't earn your salvation. And it's not in what you do, it's in a person. And that's why he says, come unto me. You can come to church, but that doesn't save you. You have to come to Jesus himself. And, you know, I believe this is so true that in the law, the Ten Commandments were to keep the Sabbath day, it said. And that's sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. But that's for the Jewish people. And you're to be stoned if you don't keep the Sabbath day under the law. Even in the millennium, the Jewish people are going to keep that. Well, how does that apply to the church dispensation and to you Gentiles who are part of the church? Well, it says in Colossians 2, 16 and 17, and I believe this is inspired of God, let no man therefore judge you in respect of an holy day, or the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, plural, which are a shadow of things to come. So for the church, we're not to keep the Sabbath from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. But God did sanctify that day. That day is a special day, and it will be kept by the Jews for eternity. When I was in Israel, you know, the Jews kept the Sabbath, and it was interesting. I got in an elevator, and the thing was all automatic. It just went, they didn't even have to touch the buttons on the elevator. I was like, wow, I got in the wrong elevator. It was a Jewish elevator, but anyway. But I'm just saying that's why you're told in Hebrews chapter 4, 9 and 10, how we're to keep the Sabbath day in the church age. You say, how are we supposed to keep? See, you need the New Testament. Without the New Testament, you can't understand how you're to apply the Old Testament. And so what does the New Testament say? It says in Hebrews 4, 9 and 10, there remaineth therefore a rest, and that's a Sabbath, to the people of God. For he that is entered into his Sabbath, that's the rest that you have after you trust Christ for salvation. It says, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his, when he rested on the seventh day after he made creation, and after Jesus did, after he died for our sins and purchased our eternal salvation. He's resting at the right hand. You know, Eric Rodriguez, I was out with him Thursday night, and he went to Puerto Rico with his family. And dad, mom, Noel, and Mirella, and then the aunts and so forth. And he was talking to one of his aunts, and she is a Pentecostal, Spanish Pentecostal, you know how that is. And she was saying, you get saved when you believe in Jesus, then you lose it if you sin. And then you get it back when you repent, and then you lose it again. And you get it back, and you lose it again. And he said, well, you know, hope you die in the right day. You know, what happens if you die in the wrong day? That's not resting. Jesus, after he did the work of our salvation, he said, it's finished. He took his blood to heaven and sat down, and he's still sitting there right now. He's resting. And if you are a true believer in Jesus, you've entered into that rest. There's nothing more for you to do for your salvation. And that's what he's talking about there. And that applies to Jews. It applies to Islam. It applies to Catholics. There's only two religions. One is done, and the other is I'm still doing. And you'll never be done. And you'll go to hell trying to do it. There are a lot of better people than me that are in hell. A lot of better people. I've seen them. And better than you, frankly. Because I've seen you. And I'm just saying that it's done. And that's what Jesus in this first invitation is inviting us to have. And that's why it says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I like what Charlie Ware used to say, faith looks without. Doesn't look within at what I'm doing. Looks without. When the devil comes to me and says, you're this and you're that, I say, just take it up with Jesus. Just take it up with him. I've entered into his rest. I'm not going to get Satan to get me working again. And so that's the first invitation. I'm not preaching on that, but if you need that today, you can have it if you'll but believe it and accept it. And so today I'm looking at the second invitation here of Christ after you've entered into that rest, and that is in verse 29 and verse 30. And we're going to preach on that this morning, that second invitation. And I'm going to say two things about it this morning. So let's read about it. First of all, go to verse 29 of Matthew. The second invitation says this: take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you've taken that first invitation and you're resting in Jesus for your salvation, well, here's the second one, and it is the invitation to yoke up with him for work. We just talked about resting. Now we're talking about working, right? What does Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 say? We quoted it. How about verse 10? For ye are his what? Workmanship, created into Christ Jesus unto good works. God believes in work. I had to work yesterday. My wife is still mad at me over that. I hope she's forgiven me, because I was not very restful. And your apartment, Kyle, we wanted to put a carpet in there. So we went and bought a carpet for the new tenant. And I hate to do this. And I got a knife. I got my wife to help me. She just had back surgery, so I kept telling her, can't lift anything, but just help me. You're my foreman. I need your brains. But then I kept resenting every time she told me to do something. It was not pretty. It was not pretty. She was mad at me all day. This morning, still mad at me. I'll be honest with you. Ticked off. And I have a tie on. I'm trying to visit. And I'm trying to do Matt's route. He's on vacation. I said, I got to get this done. And she wants it done right. And I'm like, I don't care if it's done right. I just want it done. And so we're working on it. The sweat is running off me. You know, I got the tie on. My shirt is all wet. I don't have time to change. I'm going to go. And I took it out on her. She said, she's right. I'm sorry. But anyway, I was not a very good definition of my yoke being easy and my burden being light there. But I'm saying we did get it done, and the carpet is in. It looks decent. Kind of a combination of both of us. It looks decent. But I'm looking at the definition of a yoke here. And basically the definition of a yoke is that you have a big ox, and he's old, mature, and he's got this wooden yoke on his neck, which helps him to pull a plow. And he works with a younger ox, and you put that younger ox in the yoke, and the younger ox is supposed to pull with the older ox, and it makes it really easy if he's just walking in step with him. Well, the older ox is like Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I give you rest for salvation, but now I'm going to put you to work. And if you don't work, you're not going to be happy in life. Basically, you got to keep working. Now, some people tell me to retire. I don't want to retire. I'm 76 years old. I do not want to retire. I want to refire. Amen? Donald Trump, if he can keep working, I can keep working. And I'm just saying that he is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Some people really want to grow spiritually, and they want to get into a religious lectureship type church where the pastor just lectures them. They take all these notes, and that may puff your head up, and you may get a lot of head knowledge, but you're not going to learn of Jesus that way. You're not going to be like Jesus. You're not going to grow in your knowledge of Jesus that way. He says, take my yoke upon you. That's how you learn of me. Sometimes couples want to go out on dates and they think they can get to know one another a date. No, you cut carpet with one another. That's what you get. She should have cut carpet with me before she married me. She'd have been running from the altar. You see, that's where you get to know somebody, when you're working with them. Going on a date, Brother Joe, we're going to go to the Yummy Bowl, you know, to celebrate Joe's birthday. And, oh, that's fun. Or Steve's going to go to Knoebels. But welcome to my world. When he works with you, that's when you get to know Steve. You know, my wife can say, welcome to my world, you know. Work with somebody. You know, you see two police partners, they work with somebody and they get to know them. Now, the good news is when you work with Jesus, you got somebody perfect. He's never going to mess up. He's always going to teach you how good he is, and we may mess up. You know, when I really get to know somebody, I like to go out with them soul winning, as a soul winning partner. I went out with Christian the other day, and we had a great time. Jose Valley, Eric Rodriguez. And Eric Rodriguez, he tells me when he goes out soul winning with me, like on a Thursday night, he texts me and he said, I just can't wait to go out soul winning with you because of the conversations we have as we go out. Because we talk about what we're experiencing. I believe that's why Jesus sent people out two by two. Because you go through things and it's nice to have a partner with you that you can share with when you're going out soul winning. And this is what Jesus did. He sent his apostles out two by two. And he taught them as he went with them. We used to have the discipleship groups. Remember that? We had, you go out and go in a house and sit there, have coffee, and you learn a discipleship. Man, I don't do it that way anymore. I wrote another discipleship manual. All my doctrine is written. But you have to go soul winning to get it. And you get a little bit of that manual, and then we go out soul winning. And you learn more. And because that is the work. The work is to get people. He said, I've got more people I want you to win. So everybody needs to be a soul winner. Everybody needs to get people to church, get them baptized. Everybody needs to get them to become a member, then go out with them. And then they'll learn. They'll learn of Jesus. But we're fooling ourselves if we think we're learning in other settings, truly learning. He says, take my yoke upon you. The yoke is his work, all right? That's what we're talking about. He says, not only learn of me, he says, I'm meek. And you say, well, what are you talking about? What's meek? Meek means not self-centered. I've studied this word out. It means I don't have a selfish agenda that I'm pushing. I am simply Christ-centered. And if you're Christ-centered, Abraham was a very meek man. When Lot said, you know, we're arguing about this, he said, you go to the left, I'll go right. You go right, I'll go left. He was meek. He wasn't pushing his agenda. And Jesus pushes whose agenda? The Father. Everything he did for the Father. They were in total agreement. As he gave his life for the people of God, for all ages, the world of the elect, he gave his blood and paid for the redemption of his people. That's what the Father wanted. And he says, now I have many that are still need to come, and you need to work with me as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Are you doing that? Is that your goal as you go out, or do you have your own agenda? You say, well, I'm going shopping. Ladies love to go shopping. Men, they go quicker, you know, but ladies, they love to go. My wife used to take her shopping. I go read or something like that. But they love to shop a lot longer, usually. I go to the bins with my wife. How many have ever been to the bins? Yeah. Oh, you got to go to the bins. Friday, it's one, then it's lower, then it's lower, then it's lower, then it's lower. Every day they reduce the prices, and there are all these bins, and my wife is so good. She gets these deals. I go in there, I go for 10 minutes, I'm done. She goes 10 hours. And I say, honey, I'm just going to take a walk. And I do. I walk every day for an hour and pray. I go walking around, you know, out there, and then come back and pay for it. That's all right. We could do that. But I'm just saying that he says that you're entering into his work. And he says, I'm meek. I don't have a selfish agenda. He says, I'm lowly in heart. Well, what does that mean? I'm not into pride. I'm not. What's pride? I'm pushing myself up. Lifting myself up, pride. No, I'm into what the Lord wants, and I want to see Him. You know what the acts of the apostles are? They're not the acts of the apostles. They're acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. That's what it is. And watch what they're doing, man. It's like awesome. I think we have more of the acts of Randy Bloom and the rest of us than we do the apostles today. Because we'd see greater things done. Take the yoke of Christ and learn of him. He's lowly. He's meek. And he says, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now notice that. You shall find rest unto your souls. Did he say there you'll find rest unto your bodies? No, he'll work your body. Now I get rest at night, but I am working. And thank God I do have rest, and I need more of it as I get older. But I do still work. And when I work, my body is always under the gun. I'm under constant time pressure. I got to do this, got to do that, got to do this, do that. And sometimes I don't do well with that because I get too caught up in that. Time pressure, because you got to do this, you got to do that. But I always say Mary had a little lamb. It grew up and became a sheep. It joined Scranton Revival Baptist Church and died for lack of sleep, right? You got it. So, you know, there's work. I had a guy here, Danielle Lindsay's husband, Bob Lindsay. He said, you know, Pastor Randy Bloom, he said, when I came to your church, he said, I'm under constant pressure. He said, to work. He said, but it's not too much pressure that it destroys me, but it's enough pressure that keeps me from being lazy. Well, I like that because that's what Jesus does. He gives us rest for our soul. You know, though your outward man perish, your inward man is what? Renewed day by day. And he refreshes you and helps you. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, my brother, Paul told Philemon. And you need to to have that, and he will give you rest in your soul. I like what Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I used to just think, well, we just stand here and wait on the Lord and say, Lord, I'm out of energy. Just give me more. But, you know, that's the picture of waiting on tables. How many of you have worked waiting on tables as a waitress or something? Yeah, I did it in Howard Johnson's. I used to wait when I was 16, 17 years old. I waited on a big bunch of people. And the guy'd say, I want this and I want that. I was thinking in my heart, you know, you jerk. You know, you want this and you want. I was not a good waiter. But I'm just saying that when you wait on the Lord, you're basically saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? What do I do next? What work do you want me to do? I'm your servant. And that's what we, and they that wait upon the Lord in that way, like you wait on tables, they shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings. They'll run and not be, they'll walk and not faint. You'll never have to say, I can't go on. I got a coffee cup. It says, be calm and continue on. Is that what it says? Be calm and continue on. Yeah. I love that cup. And this is what he enables you to do. Why? He says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You say, why is his yoke easy and his burden is light? Well, remember, you're pulling with Jesus. And if you're staying in step with him, Charlie Ware used to put it this way. He's got all the wealth. He's got all the money. He's got all the wisdom. He's got all the strength you need. And I find out he gives it as you need it. As your what? Days, so shall your strength be. If you faint in adversity, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And I like to quote that, your strength is your own. That's why you're fainting. That's why you're fainting. His wealth, wisdom, power is available to you. If you will do his will, he'll foot the bill. You know, I'm facing this stuff with this bus ministry and getting another bus. It's driving me crazy in some ways. But I have to remind myself of what I'm preaching on right here, right now. By the way, I didn't announce it. We're supposed to have a business meeting on that Wednesday and possibly Sunday night just to share an update on that and decide what to do. But he is the senior partner. This is his church. I was watching a thing by a girl, and I think her name was Margaret Wilson. She lived in 1680 in Scotland. She was 18 years old. And they told her, all you have to do is say the King of Scotland is the head of your church. We know Jesus and all, but the King of Scotland is the head of your church. She said, I can't do it. They tried to get her to do it. I can't do it. Jesus is the head of my church. So they had a lady that was older lady, and she loved that lady, and she taught her these things too. And they put her out where the tide went out and tied her up on a stake. They put Margaret a little bit in so she could look at the older lady tied up, and the tide began to come in. They said, now change your mind and say the King of Scotland. And she saw the older lady. Change your mind. You'll save her. You'll save yourself. Older lady died, drowned. Now she's filling up. Her father got her a pardon. And he's running back with the pardon. And they didn't recognize it or something, but they just kept saying, deny that the King of Scotland and this thing's going to, you're going to stay there. She drowned there because she wouldn't do that. Well, Jesus is the head of this church. Amen. I'll testify to it. Hope I could do that if I was killed for it. But I'm just saying, we have the definition of the yoke is working with Christ, and we also have a description, I believe, of this yoke. And you say, well, what is this yoke of Jesus Christ? First of all, it's a yoke of soul winning. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It's clearly, he says, go, and he says in Matthew 28, go and teach all nations. Well, what are you to teach all nations? The gospel. That's what you teach them. Go and teach all nations. And then it says baptizing them. You baptize those that receive the teaching when you invite them to trust Christ. And then what does it say? And then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Well, what has he just commanded them in the context? Go, teach people so they get saved, baptize them, and you're to teach them to observe those things. And that's training in the Great Commission. That is the work of soul winning. And I'm so glad that you learn by doing. You learn by doing. If I'm not doing it, you're not going to do it. You know, so many preachers stand up and say, go soul winning. But how many actually go like they should? I'm so glad I went out yesterday and a young man named Jose went with me. He's about 24 years old. Christian, how old are you? 29 years old. He went with me, and we had such a great time. Thursday night, I went out with Eric. He's probably 24, I think, something like that, 24 years old. And he went out. And you know what? I don't want for young people. Young people are willing to do it. They just want an older person that'll do it too. And see him do it. And so I'm just saying it's a yoke of soul winning. And we need to be doing that. If you're not soul winning, you're not right with God. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, how about just taking a church tract and putting one in your pocket, giving it to somebody, and saying, read it with me. And then you read it to them. One, step, two, three. And then it has an opportunity to pray to receive Christ. How about doing that? That's what Eric does. I'm just saying you could do that and take some tracks back there. It's a soul winning work that we do with Christ, and he's in that. You say, well, how do you know he's in it? Read Matthew 28. And lo, I'm with you always. That doesn't mean I'm with you if you don't fly. No, that's not what it's saying. When he says, lo, I'm with you always, that means if you're going and you're soul winning, and the soul winning is the main verb there, by the way. And the rest are participles that help the verb. Going is a participle. Baptizing is a participle. Teaching them to observe is a participle. Teaching all nations, that's soul winning. That's a main verb. So that's the main thing. It's a soul winning work that we're to be doing. That's the description of the yoke. The second description of the yoke is it's a supplication yoke. It's a yoke of supplication. Read the book of Acts. They were soul winning in the book of Acts. It wasn't lifestyle evangelism, although that you can do that, but it's more than that. It's going with an intention to tell people. Okay? Soul winning. Right, Hoshe? All right. It's soul winning. But it's, if you read the book of Acts, it's supplication. And one of the greatest things I enjoy doing is having a men's revival seekers prayer meeting. We've been doing that for 50 plus years here. Started with Charlie Ware. We're still doing it. We do it on a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And it's a men's revival. You say, what about a women's one? Go ahead, start it. We go pray. And we're praying for, you say, what are you praying for? We're praying for the same old stuff of soul winning, just a heap more of it. Just more power. Not some special revelatory sign gifts, charismatic, apostolic gifts. No, that's been laid. That's the foundation. We're praying for greater works than these. We're praying for lives saved. We're praying for more of that. And you need more power for that. More of the Holy Spirit. Do you know you need more of the Holy Spirit? You say, I'm filled with the Holy. Yeah, but there's a lot more of him than you're filled with. It's unlimited. And so you have supplication. It's a yoke of supplication. It's a yoke of soul winning. And by the way, it's a yoke of standards. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I don't know about you, but I don't like in the summertime. And I'm going to get in trouble for this. I know it. To see ladies showing cheeks, not on their face. but I see it all the time. You say you shouldn't be looking. You don't take that second look. That's the one. The first look, you can't. It's the one where you go. It's not right. I said it's not right. I could show it to you biblically, but I'm just going to tell you this morning, it's not right. Cover yourself. Cover your legs. Cover your cleavage. If you cover yourself. And I'm just saying that we need to have standards. I'm thinking of a guy, he had like 21 earrings. 21 earrings in his ears. And they had teen soul winning at this church. I went there to this church, and they had like what's called teen soul winning. And the guy was going out with them soul winning. He just got saved. He got baptized. He had 21 earrings in his ears. And they said, come on, let's go teen soul winning. He's like, yeah, I'll go with you. And every time somebody got saved, he took one of his earrings off to help him count. And when he was done, he had no earrings left. And because he was in a good church, he never put the earrings back in. He just kept going. Remember, Brother Bob, when you got saved, Brother Bob got saved, he a wonderful testimony of salvation. God did a work in his life. He had pain from a drug injury, athletic injury in high school, and started taking prescription drugs, and he abused drugs. He had a great money. He was a whiz kid making all kind of money as a regional vice president of a company, but those drugs got him. He lost that. He had an accident. They actually filled out his death certificate. He was in a coma around Easter, and they filled out his death certificate. He came out of that and was in recovery for a drug thing, and the pastor came and gave him the gospel, and he prayed to receive Christ. What a blessing that was. But I remember Bob, we went to Knoebels and he was singing with his guitar this rock music, and he's like, rah, rah, rah. I'm like, this guy's a piece of work. We need to work with him. But you know what? I just started giving him books to read. And he'd read books on Second Coming. He was a Jack Van Impe, you know, on the Second Coming. He started reading these books I gave him, and he could see it from the Bible. And now he's teaching awesome stuff. He started reading books on the charismatic movement because he needed understanding. I gave him Signs of the Apostles by Walter Chantry. He read that book. Different books. Sovereignty of God. You know, he just picked it up. And he still takes his family soul winning. And I'm saying it's a yoke of standards. I had a guy named Mike Gleason. He used to be a deacon. You ever know Mike Gleason? He's a sermon illustration now. Went to Baptist Bible, and he taught a view of music called the amoral view. Like there's no morality to music. Ah, balderdash. And he actually got people not to grow in holiness, because getting around him, they became more like the world. They were going back into the world. I said, I don't want that. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people to get more like Jesus. And he wasn't having that effect. And so I'm just saying that you and I need to have a yoke of soul winning. We need to have a yoke of supplication. We need to have a yoke of standards and get some convictions about holiness. And lastly, we need a yoke of service submission. You know, the Bible says submitting yourself one to another in the fear of Christ. You know, I had a guy in the church. He's not here anymore. I love the guy. We're friends. He's a good guy. And I actually refer people to him, but he's not in the church. He didn't like a phrase I used over and over again. And I'm going to use it again this morning. And it's called, there ought to be cliques in the church. You know, people say, I don't want to join that church. There are cliques in the church. Well, there ought to be one clique in the church. You know what the clique is? Everybody's clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. You see, if I'm clicking around the head of the church, Jesus, what I just preached on, then I believe I'll have people clicking around me to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, wives will click around their husbands to fulfill the Great Commission, so forth and so on. You know, youth ministry people click around the youth pastor to fulfill the Great. I'm thankful we got that kind of click going on here. Sometimes strong ladies can be good ladies, two great ladies. They're both strong, they got strong personalities, and they bang into one another. But look at this. I'm going to read it to you. It says in Philippians 4:3, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche. I know Euodias and soon touchy, you know. I'm not going to say that. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Who's true yoke fellow? It's some guy that was clicking around Paul to fulfill the Great Commission. I entreat thee, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. They were in the yoke of Christ. With Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Help these ladies to stay in the yoke and stay humble and submit to one another. One lady has a ministry over here and another lady tries to encroach on that ministry and the lady says, no, that's my ministry. You will not step over that. I like that. Because that one lady should submit to that lady. And likewise, another lady might have a ministry and not, you don't step over that. As long as they're clicking around Jesus to fulfill the Great Commission, then that's what it means to submit. You're in the nursery? Okay, you run the nursery. You're over here, you're doing hospitality? You run hospitality. You're over here, you're doing secretarial treasurer? You do that. And that's what that's talking about. You say, what is it? It's a yoke of service submission. I've had people join the church, Pastor, I don't agree with you on standards. You don't have to. You can be a member of this church, or you don't have to agree with me on standards. But some people say, well, I want to be in leadership. Well, then you can submit and not believe it. Say, I'm doing it so I can serve. That's fine. That's fine. I'm just saying there's something greater, and that's what the New Testament here teaches. I hope you get a hold of that and you can be blessed with this second invitation. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of his humility. Learn of his selflessness. Learn of his service submission. Learn of his holy standards. Learn of Jesus, but most of all, that he wants to get people, just like the Father does, to enter into his rest. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about the yoke.